Jeff Poor Show with FM Talk 106.5. I guess our 11:30 guest may have forgotten today, but John Wall will keep the lines open for him should he remember. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. A few texts to get to here. Be Dark, you should be thankful. What is that? Hold on, we got to go back here. I ain't bought nothing new since 2006, and that was a washer and dryer and a refrigerator made in the USA. You should be thankful you have a Walmart. That for Be Dark, I guess. I wish I could have a appliances that would last, what, 19 years? Yeah, but I don't think that's the norm. Be Dark and everything. I mean, I think we have we do have American made washer and dryer. Actually, I'm sure the parts were manufactured in China, but they were assembled here. But a lot of this stuff, it's just cheaper. You make all the parts overseas, you ship them over on a container, and then you assemble them here in the United States. Does that count as made in America? That's what passes for it anyway. No more Curtis Matthews TVs out there. Dirt Digger, all the illegals coming across the border are not educated either, and they don't pay taxes or Social Security, but letting them milk our things to help our citizens. Well, the illegals that come here, the way that works, we're subsidizing illegal labor. I mean, that's essentially what it is. And the idea is here, if you force the labor market to pay what the value of that labor is, the prices would go up, but you would have like the value of a head of lettuce or whatever. You would everybody's wages would go up, sort of a trickle up effect, and you don't have this burden on the public. You don't have this burden on the taxpayer for all of, you know, where the social safety net is abused. I believe we got him now. Joining us now on the line, he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, but John Wall is with us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for making time. We always appreciate it. I guess we'll ask this question every week. Any update on your political future?
Eventually, I'll have an answer for you. Other than that, I'm still prayerfully considering it. The most important thing right now is that we make sure, that the Republican Party is ready for 2026. That we're positioned to hold the House, maybe make gains in the Senate, like to try to make sure that we have the votes to actually affect policy in the right way that helps people have a safer, more successful life. And really, you know, I talk about this a lot. The election of Donald Trump, last November this was not the end of the battle. This was not the end of the war. This was just the beginning. Because if we're really going to grab on, and if we're really going to restore America back to the vision of our founding fathers, you know, limited government, putting people back in charge, getting the woke nonsense out of our education system and our government institutions. If we're going to accomplish these things, we have a short window, because our nation is at a crossroads. And if we don't make serious gains over the next few years, I believe we'll lose America, the America that we know and love, this grand experiment of freedom. And so I'm weighing it. I'm trying to do a good job everywhere I can. My heart is good policy and making sure that we defend the rights and freedoms of every single individual. And whether that's a state party chairman or is running for lieutenant governor, that's my commitment.
Well, we'll keep asking, best of luck on that decision process. So something that came up, and we had an op-ed about it, it's just stirred up a little dialogue. The future of like how the AEA and, once upon a time it was taboo for Republicans, you didn't need a rule. It was taboo for Republicans to take money from the teachers union. And that was like an automatic disqualifier, at least in the eyes of voters. Now it's sort of more widespread that, it's done and no one really thinks much of it. But is there? I know there was a rule passed that impacted school board races or things associated with education. But talk about that and the possibility. Will there ever be a moratorium on AEA donations as a whole?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you bring up a great point. And that standing rule change the party implemented, which was a very, very simple thought, but with profound implications. And it was this, you know, if you're running for state school board, if you're running for county school board or superintendent, it's really a conflict of interest for you to be taking money from the teachers union that you're going to directly oversee. And so that was actually a standing rule that I submitted. I actually, you know, temporarily stepped down as chairman to submit that rule change and argue on its behalf, because I think that's incredibly important. We have to free our education system of conflicts of interest and the bureaucratic mess that has led us to a position where our education system lets down our children. And look, a lot of this is coming from the federal level, where they're pushing this woke nonsense on our local school systems. And I think it was even more important that rule also included, as well as the AEA, but it also included the national teachers union, because we need Alabama to be free and independent when it comes to our education. We want our school board members to be standing up for their parents and for their local teachers, not for a bureaucratic mess. So that was my priority, and the party voted that in. That is in effect right now, and I think that's incredibly important. And it shows in Alabama our stance. You know, I can't speak for other states, for other party chairmen, for other Republican parties, but here in Alabama, we're going to put parents first, and we're going to defend them, and we're going to stand up for parental rights. Now, I got a lot of heat off of that, but I never back down, because we can't. If there's one battle that's most important, it's the battle for our children. I feel so passionate about that, because if we lose this generation, and you know, our young people, we lose the country forever. And this is our greatest duty, is to protect the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children. So as I look at that battle, that's kind of the with the lens that I looked at as I was working on that standing rule change. Now, as far as the AEA's influence over us, you're right. The state has drastically changed over the last, since 2010, when Republicans took control of the state legislature, where the AEA was an open enemy of the Republican Party and Republican lawmakers. And there's been this shift, and there's been this move to embrace them by some within our elected officials. I will say that I have had open dialogue. I believe in talking with everyone, and I have a very healthy relationship with everyone involved with the legislative process. And that even includes the AEA. And I talked with them, and I let them know that if they oppose things like school choice, like curriculum transparency, getting DEI out of our education system, that they would have a serious problem with the Republican Party. And I will give them credit in that they did not oppose those bills that we passed, not just last session, but the session before, that really reformed education. They took it serious, and they were willing to work with us on some of these critical issues. So here's my hope, and this is where I always stand on this. If you're willing to stand on good policy, I'm willing to work with you. And, you know, a lot of our local teachers are conservative. They're Republicans. That's who I get the most calls from. So what I told the AEA was, I want to see you guys leading the charge, standing up for your members. Your members are Republicans. Your members have these conservative values. You don't have to be a liberal organization. You can stand up for your teachers. And if you do that, we can make Alabama better.
And, you mentioned, talking to the AEA and necessarily working with them, but they're, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for the AEA or anything like that, but.
No, me either. I don't want to come across that way, but I think it's important that everyone in politics should be willing to talk to the other side and find a way to get things passed that are best for our families in Alabama.
Well, and so I guess my question was this, and this may be like sort of a perception question. I mean, are they necessarily the boogeymen that they once were? I mean, you have to go back to Paul Hubbard in 20, 30 years ago when he ran the chamber a lot of times. And then I think, you know, it wasn't just a necessarily Republican thing, but a lot of people did not like that. So I guess the question is, I mean, are they really the big problem that they were in the back in the day?
Well, look, they're obviously not the same as they were, where they controlled the legislature and they were the force, Democratic force, pushing the Democrat Party. And they're obviously not that. They know they have to work with Republicans. And I'm reminded of the words of a very wise man. You know, the AEA would tell you that they have changed. They are different. They're working with Republicans. And I always go back to the wisdom of those who have gone before us. And I'm reminded of the words of Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. So I think, look, I can work. I think everyone, whether you're a legislature, whether you're, if you're elected in leadership, you talk with everyone. You have an open dialogue. You try to find ways to best serve the people of our state. And if the AEA is willing to go along with that conservative agenda that's going to fight for people, for parental rights and for school choice and for parents being put back in control of our education system, then I'm all for it. That's great. But if they oppose it, that's where, that's where I will stand up and immediately say, all right, that is not conservative value. That is not what we need to be standing for. And so it comes down to, this is in the hands of AEA. None of us have control over the decisions they make. It's up to them whether they want to be, come on board with the conservative movement and putting the people and the children and the families of Alabama first.
Well, and then, how are they doing? Like, how would you grade that? They don't, we got school choice. It does seem a little, maybe a little watered down for a lot of people's likings, but it is something that has long been resisted by these guys. And it just sort of happened without that much pushback. It seemed like they kind of accepted that this is the way things are going and this is the way we need to be. But what would you like to see from them specifically to as a show of goodwill?
Well, I mean, look, we did have that first show, if you will, with school choice, because, they were very vocal and very opposed to it over the years. And that's one of the things that I sat down with them and said, look, this is non-negotiable. Passing school choice is a must for the people of Alabama. And more importantly, and look, I agree, there are parts of our school choice bill that could be better. I'm very opposed to the two-child limit for homeschoolers. I think that's a horrible representation that we do value children in Alabama, and we should expand that. There should not be a two-child limit. At the same time, I'm very proud of the fact that our school choice here in Alabama does not have any testing or curriculum strengths. And I say that because we see states like Tennessee, like Texas, who are passing school choice, but they're requiring private schools or homeschoolers to use the same flawed curriculum that the public school systems are using that have led to the problems we have in the public school arena. And I think the answer to this is not to force the flaws of the public school system on the private sector, but to do the opposite. I want to release the public schools from these strings coming down from a federal Department of Education and federal bureaucrats who, though we're getting it cleaned up, are still far out of touch with the values of the people of Alabama. So AEA they backed down on that issue, and they actually worked with Republicans in passing school choice. Obviously, we want to see that program grow. We want to see it, encouraged, and we want to see some of the limitations that were put on it taken off. But I think they know the situation going on in Montgomery. They know Republicans have control, and they know some of these issues are non-negotiable. We are going to fight for our children and make sure that we have things in place. And what I love about it is, like I said, this is up to the AEA because their members, for the vast majority, are Republican. And I want to see them actually fighting for these local teachers who don't want this government red tape, who don't want the bureaucrats from Washington, D.C. deciding what they teach their children. It's time for the AEA to stand up for their members. And if they stand up for their members, that will mean standing for Republicans.
Now, a lot of our crowd, let's say our crowd, you know, obviously 18, 19 and places like that, they what they object to is the AA's association with the NEA. And the NEA is way, way out there. But when it comes to that, I don't know how much, how intricately they are tied to one another. I know that there's some language in their in their charter and in their bylaws or whatever. But, you know, it's not as if the AA is NEA Alabama.
No, look, that's right. And like I said, you would never see the NEA allowing and working with Republicans to pass a school choice bill. And so there is a definite difference. Now, I would once again encourage the AEA to separate those ties. You know, this goes back to like the Alabama Public Library Service, where I'm also chairman of the State Library Board as we're working to clean up, you know, our libraries with the sexual content that's been being, you know, pushed on our children. We immediately felt it was our duty to separate from the American Library Association when they came out and said they had an openly Marxist agenda. You know, if you believe in something and you're part of an organization that is the polar opposite, you have a duty to separate. And that is, I think, something that would be very beneficial to the AEA. Like if they want to continue their efforts to become more in line with the values of the people of Alabama, I think a separation from the NEA would be an incredibly strong statement that they do want to be different. They do want to put Alabama first and not be associated with this national group that is so polar opposite to the values of every single Alabamian when it comes to our children's education.
Jerry, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for hopping on. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, always good to be on the show.
All right. Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.